And glad for your presence this afternoon as we gather together to study God's Word once again today. We appreciate all those who are visiting with us again and acknowledging those who are coming to Tech, and we just hope that you find your school term pleasant here, and we welcome you to be with us. I appreciate Brother Jeff's prayer, and it kind of very much idealizes what we're going to talk about for a little bit this afternoon. The immorality and where we are in our society is a very oppressing thing to think about. There are many verses of Scripture that attend to this. We don't speak on them very often. It's kind of an unpopular thing and very negative in some ways. But if we neglect them, our young people can also be swayed by their peers and on those on the other outside that are ungodly, or those that are erred who have been at one time very active in the church. This kind of follows along with some family members that I have that have hurt me because they have left the church and they have gone to the other ways. Tonight, as we begin, let's just start in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, as we begin our study. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. When he speaks of the last days, certainly we know that we are in the last days. From the beginning of time until Noah, in the first dispensation of time, God destroyed all the people on the earth except Noah and his family because of ungodliness. We're back in that same stage again in these last days. I like to say from the beginning of Jesus Christ, where things really begin for God in these last days and for the church that Jesus came and he established. He warns us that in the last days, in the days from wherever we are in this life, is our last days. It doesn't mean, and I'm not advocating that we're looking for time coming soon, that God will end this and that Jesus will come and claim his own. But I am saying that wherever you are in your life, you can't go back. You are headed toward your last days. Biblically speaking, and the way the church was established, and everything that happened in the letters and the epistles of men and the sins of some people in the church, this was kind of an announcement that should have taken hope, and hopefully did, to Timothy when Paul told him, "You need to watch out, Timothy, because in the last days, this is what's going to happen. There will be perilous times that shall come." Now, perilous to us has certainly a measured meaning whenever we think of what is really perilous. Whenever we think of ourselves as being persecuted, then it could be very perilous. When we think of the church losing members because they have gone by the way of the world, we could identify that with perilous. There are many who have left the church because of the reading that we're going to read now. Verse 2 says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." When we see this reading and we realize that verse 5 says that the people who have these characteristics, they have a form of godliness. I want to read the translation from two other translations as we look at these verses. The NIV reads, "But mark this, there shall be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, they will be lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. The NIV says, have nothing to do with them. The Living New Testament says, you may as well know this too, Timothy, that in the last days it is going to be very difficult to be a Christian. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be proud and boastful, sneering at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful to them, and thoroughly bad. They will be hard-hearted and never give in to others. They will be constant liars and troublemakers and will think nothing of immorality. They will be rough and cruel and sneer at those who try to be good. They will betray their friends. They will be hot-headed, puffed up with pride, and prefer good times to worshiping God. They will go to church, yes, but they won't really believe anything they hear. Don't be taken in by people like that. In the last days, Peter talked about what would happen if we turn to 2 Peter, the third chapter. He was speaking of the first time, the first dispensation of time. And if we begin that, just read verse 3, 2 Peter 3 and 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Did you catch that where he said that they were ignorant of this? They had no knowledge of God. They weren't aware of it. And he's referring to the world even in the day that we live in. And if we think about it as we read it, of our society today and of the ungodliness and the move to take God out of everything. It is kind of phenomenal that there is so few a people controlling such a large people. But we take those minds of movie actors and of those who are very successful in that field and the influence they have on politicians, and there has been a move and a successful move. What is the worst thing, I think, is the success of the homosexual movement, especially in the teachers of the preschool in the early elementary school to age children, that this is a new way of life that is acceptable. If you think about that, and I'm not trying to create something that is out of line, but if you think about it and you follow what is happening today in the news, that is now set in place where young children will accept any lifestyle. It moves away from creation to evolution. This world, Ecclesiastes said, what has been before will be again. He said, there's no new thing under the sun. God destroyed mankind once by the flood, and he will destroy mankind the second time with fire and brimstone. Peter wrote this, and he said, but you have to have a knowledge of it to be able to live by it. Verse 5 says, again, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found in him, of him, in peace, without spot, and blameless. and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. To me, this is the most impacting verse to society today. The immorality, the change in our society, just in the United States, to say nothing of worldwide. They are unlearned, they are unstable, and they wrestle, as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also. Now here is the point. Be aware also, lest ye be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory for now and forever. When we see, as we read in 2 Timothy, the traits that were listed there, 2 Timothy 3, we think these things are so outlandish. And many of them are, for us to even identify with them. There are some that are not. Being disobedient to parents, being unthankful and unholy, being without natural affection. We think, again, of the homosexual community and without the natural affection that God instilled and ordained. That's something else that is also answered in God's Word. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that in Romans, the first chapter. We read those verses often. Let's go to Romans, the first chapter, and read that. Begin with verse 13. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I proposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even among other Gentiles. For I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, so as much as in me I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believes, to Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God, revealed faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, and here's where we pick up. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. This is the same thing that was expressed in Timothy. They have a form of godliness, but they deny it. There are some that God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That is a sad place to be, for someone to be holding the truth and be living in an unrighteous state, much with the traits or the characteristics we read of in 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. From the very creation it has been given. So there is no excuse about God and the power and the Godhead. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of God, the glory of the uncorruptible God, into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They started making idols. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use in that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Have you ever thought about what God did for the disobedient a man of where they began the homosexuality? Whenever they turned against God, God turned them away. And God led them to this. It is a very sad thing to see in our nation today and in some cities the activity of the homosexual community and what they want and what they're trying to do. I mention all of this, and I bring all this to the forefront, not that we should be dogmatic about this, but the importance of our young people, those of you who are in school, even the preteens, knowing that who you associate with can influence your life greatly. Just as those family members that I can tell you about who left the church, but the first thing they did, they quit coming to church, or they started attending things that were not righteous, being with their family and friends. One man told his son, he used to see everything black and white. He was a very active, diligent member of the church. But he left the church, and now he tells his young son, he said, you know, things are not black and white like I always thought they were. There are a lot of shaded areas. Beloved, when we quit walking in the light and in the spirit, we're in the shade. And that's where this man is. Obviously, we can see many things of evil and many things that we can justify and explain away. But when it comes down to the bare facts of what we read in the Bible, we should not be in denial of what is expected of us and what will happen to us and the warnings given, that we should be careful we would not be in error and be led away ourselves. 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yea, not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or with extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. And I want us to capitalize on this verse. It is so insignificant when we read it, but it has so much power to us. The church at Corinth was made up of a very immoral nation, and it had many other nations in that nation. But out of this people, the church was established in Corinth. Immorality was rampant. Anything sexual, it was allowed, encouraged. So we find in the church, if we look back at the first verse of this chapter, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, speaking to the members of the church, and of such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Here is a man in the church that has taken his father's wife and living and committing fornication. And Paul was telling the church, this was a terrible thing that you're doing. He said, I wrote unto you not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world. And that's where verse 10 comes in. Or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. How can we be successful in turning the hearts of minds of men if we don't go into the world and associate with these people? Yet Timothy said, from such turn away. Surely he was speaking of those in the church who had all these characteristics, because they have a form of godliness, and the other translations say they'll be at church, but they won't accept what is being said. So here we see Paul saying, being specific, you cannot go out of the world. That's the world is where all of these people from Corinth came from. There were some Jews there also. But the church was made up of these kind of people. But I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an adulterer, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. From such one know not to eat. But what I have to do to judge them also that are without? Certainly here we judge those that are without the church. Do not ye then judge them that are within? Isn't it possible that if you see someone living with his father's wife in the church that you would judge that person correctly and do something about it? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from yourselves that wicked person. We don't have time to read all of this to know that that wicked person was put out. But it wasn't put out that he could be disfellowshipped, done away with, and sent off to hell. If you keep reading this, and we should know this story, this man came back and was penitent of it. And it was successful. Not because they wanted to see him lose his soul, they wanted to save his soul spiritually. In chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6, begin with verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Certainly for us to turn our backs on the lost would be the worst thing we could do if we were going to be successful and walk in the steps of Christ to save those who are lost. We can't make decisions to say that just because someone in the world is a fornicator or adulterer or a thief or a liar or cheat, that person should be prime material to be approached about changing their life for something better. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 33. Begin with verse 32. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Young people, there was said a saying, and think about this, as you go off to college and as you go to school and begin the school term, it was said, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Think about that. Show me who your friends are and I'll show you your future. If your friends are in the Christ or in the Lord, I can show you a wonderful future. But if you start going out and participating in things that are not scriptural, things that God would not want you to be involved with, if you take up friends that are doing things that you know that Jesus would not go with you, think about that. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? It is often, these verses are often used about marriage and selecting someone and being yoked for life with someone who believes in God and someone who has the same belief that you do. This always is not the case. The family member that I have been touched by, he believed. He was a believer. But he left. But when he left, he started associating with other people. Now the church, he started going to bars and doing gigs and things, because that's where his friends would go. And the question asked is, what concord hath Christ with Belial, or evil, or Satan? How can the child of God have any any interaction with someone that way. You can't. The influences will be so dramatic upon you. You'll start seeing that, hey, everything's not black and white. There's some shaded areas that we can go into and feel comfortable and explain it and justify it. But once you leave the light, you leave the Spirit behind also. And there is therefore now no more condemnation for those in Christ Jesus who walk in the Spirit. There's just no condemnation if we walk in the Spirit. If we're in the light, He is in the light. I'm going to read these verses I have down here. In Hebrews 12, verse 14, wherefore lift up your hands which hang down in your feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You notice verse 14, follow peace with all men. Sometimes it's difficult to have peace with someone that you're in disagreement with about the way they're living, their way of life. Some people can get pretty hostile about it. So you see the need for the child of God. We see the need for us as we see those who are lost, that we try to be peaceful and have a peaceful relation with them. Let's read on. In Romans 12, verse 16 through 18, be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse 18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That is the sinner, that is the vile person, that is the immoral person. The brother or the sister in the church needs to be dealt with. But we must live in this world, and we must accomplish for those who are lost to have Jesus and to be exposed to that. Verse 46 of Acts, the second chapter, we're so familiar with verse 46 and 47. And they continually, that's the disciples in the church and those that had been baptized, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as be saved. How successful will the church be if the people don't find favor in us? If we're not a favorable people, an attraction to those, to give them something to turn to and to be refreshed in the Christian life, the spiritual things, if we are unfavorable, and believe in me, I have been places where I was not welcome. I was an outsider. They didn't know me, and they treated me as such. I've been to many congregations, Amy and I have, where they wanted nothing to do with us. They knew nothing about us. And I mentioned this, we don't take that pose, we don't take that attitude. When we see someone, we treat them well. We be a favorable people. In John, the 12th chapter, the Gospel of John, verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. For I have not spoken of myself, but of the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment which I should say and what I should speak. I know that his commandment is life everlasting, whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. I hope that I have instilled some thinking in you, especially young people. You would never think down the road what might happen in your life. It is amazing to me what has happened in my life and what I've seen. And I'm just a very obscure person in the background. But whenever you're sincerely devoted to Christ, to God and His will, and to the church, it is more heart-wrenching when you see the error of some people and how easily they err. And the only thing I know to counter that is to teach where that error begins and how it activates and what it will become. For someone that we should turn away from, we would recognize that. Someone in the church. But we can't leave this world, and we should never turn our backs on the lost. And we should be a favorable people in doing that. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the body of Christ, you'd like to become one and be baptized into the body. If you're here tonight and you have something heavy in your heart that you'd like the church to pray for and help you with, we'd be glad to do that. If you come forward as we stand and sing, our song's been selected.